Blog Talk Radio.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Destruction flashback hit from Barry Maguire. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Cosmic Horizons Live. My name is James Harp, coming back to the internet airwaves after a lengthy hiatus. It's time to come back on the air. Especially what spurred me to get back on the airwaves is this new president-elect coming in January 20th, 2017, to replace the old regime of Barack Obama. We have, or the U.S. has elected Donald Trump to be the next president of the USA. Funny thing is, though, his real last name is not Trump. What is his last name? It's Drumpf, D-R-U-M-P-F, German grandfather's surname. We're going to talk a little bit about that and many more things with my very special guest, Mr. Timothy Spearman, who's a movie maker, novelist, and researcher. And we got lots of things to talk about. Call in number is 646-668-8269 or join us in the real time chat room. We take your chats, emails, and live phone calls on Cosmic Horizons Radio. This is a 30-minute live show. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce to our listening audience out there on Cosmic Horizons, my special guest, Mr. Timothy Spearman. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Brad. How are you? It's been a while since we did a show. I think probably 2 years ago, but it's nice to be with you again.
Well, we have to spread the message, Tim. We have to wake people up. I've been in dormant for a while, so apparently we'll talk about the new president coming up, but also you have a new book out on Amazon as well.
Yeah, Goodbye Ruby Akhtar. It's about a woman that I met through Freedom Talk Radio Network in the UK, who as a child was abducted under false pretenses, taken back to Northern Ireland. And what's compelling about the book is that I began to do some research about the history of Ireland, and I came across the legends and the book associated with an Israelite princess named Tia Teffy. And she prophesied that she would return to Ireland in the future and bring justice not only to the land of Ireland, but to the world. And the prophecy is that she will return with the Shiloh, meaning the Messiah, with, presumably a reincarnated aspect of Jesus. And they would go to Tara, which was the traditional place where the kings of Ireland were crowned. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken there by Jeremiah, who was assigned to guard Tiatafi after King Zedekiah instructed that she be taken to Ireland for her safety when the Babylonian captivity took place. So I suspected that, just on an intuitionary basis, that she could be the one, that she would perhaps be the reincarnation of Tiatafi. So I consulted with a very, very well-respected spiritualist here in Canada, and she works with the angels, and they give her guidance and so forth. And she confirmed that this was the case. And I asked her if this prophecy related to the returning to Tara with the Shiloh and the Ark of the Covenant being discovered and so forth. Was this the lifetime in which that would take place? And she said no. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to go on. But I just find it a compelling background story based on a past life type of connection that makes the novel more fascinating, really. I mean, even if you don't believe it, it makes for an extremely interesting co-narrative in the novel, kind of interweaving the past with the present and
right.
Showing how, lifetimes can be connected.
No, Tim, what is the name of the book for people that want to look on Amazon and get it?
Goodbye, Ruby Akhtar. We played or toyed with the title Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday, based on the old Rolling Stones song,
mm-hmm.
and decided against it because it just raised issues of copyright and all
right,
that.
Right.
I noticed, though, that there are titles that, on the internet that use that title for books. But anyway, I don't regret the decision to go with Goodbye, Ruby Akhtar, A-K-H-T-A-R is the spelling of her family name.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tim, I opened the show a little bit talking about the U.S. Electing a new president, Donald Trump. But when we go back and look, he has German immigrant backgrounds with his grandfather, And the real last name is not Trump. It's D-R-U-M-P-F, Drumpf. Now, there's a reason why he changed his name, obviously for media purposes. And the word Trump signifies a certain things in people's memory. But what is your opinion? There's a lot of mixed opinions about this Donald Trump, how, he went from riches to rags, back up to riches again. Do you think the people were just off guard with this election, that they did get cut off guard? And what is your opinion of the so-called Russians manipulating the vote to put their man Trump in?
I believe the story related to the Russian hacking of the election and interference in the electoral process is completely a complete fabrication. I have had opinions from both sides, examined opinions from both sides. My gut instinct from the start was that it was a an orchestration, that they lied, that they claimed this was the case when it wasn't the case, and that it was obviously designed to discredit the outcome of the election, to suggest that he had gained an electoral victory falsely, that he wasn't truly elected through due process, and it would call into question the whole electoral process. He was the election took place on a void of course. Now, I'm not a professional astrologer in the sense that I make a living from it, but I do charts for people, and I do event charts for major events. And a void of course, usually if an event takes place on a void of course, it has to do with a lunar anomaly, a strange behavior associated with the moon. It usually means that the whole event will end in failure, that there will be problems that emerge and so forth. For example, Gary Hart, as we all know, he was a presidential candidate at one point, and it all ended very disastrously for him. And it was another void of course that affected that particular event in history. Just to give you a comparative look at what a void of course could actually result in. So I don't know how things will turn out. I do believe he will take office.
What about all the crazy things he says, Tim, like building walls and doing this and doing that and get rid of certain things that the Obama government promised? And what do you think of some of these statements, these kind of outlandish statements a lot of people say?
Mm-hmm. Well, Hillary's made a lot of outlandish statements, but they never seem to get much attention in the press. There's clearly a bias. She was and is got the press behind her. The mainstream media are on side as far as the Clinton campaign was concerned and as far as she is concerned. But there's a obvious bias against Trump. So anything that he says in which a spin can be put on it to make him look bad or to look ridiculous, they jump on it. She's made equally as inflammatory or insane remarks as anyone, and yet it never seems to get any attention or airplay. So not to suggest that he hasn't done and said stupid things, but what I like about him is that he's at least telling us what he seems to feel and think without hiding anything and without being duplicitous and without having the forked tongue, without being deceptive and speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Whereas the silver-tongued devil that's been in office for the last two administrations and his silver-tongued underlings never tell it as it is, always sugarcoat everything with what sounds nice in an Orwellian type of language that is a newspeak, doublespeak kind of forked tongue, talk out of both sides of your mouth, politicking. And here we have a man that at least shoots from the hip and speaks from the cuff and lets us know exactly what he's got on his mind. So I'd prefer that. However foolish some of his statements might be, person that I can't read, have no idea who they are, Seems to be using a series of aliases throughout his career. Doesn't even seem to have been born in the United States, which should have disqualified him for the job in the first place. And doesn't seem to have many people that know him from university days. Has certainly been involved in shady activities while president. We had the supposed raid on the compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, to take out Osama bin Laden. But Fox News announced that he had died back in 2001. And now the mainstream media is telling us that he died in 2012. And so what are we to believe?
Right.
We also have evidence that the Sandy Hook school shooting was a fraud. And we have other false flag terror operations taking place under Obama's watch. He promised.
Tim, I have an email here. We only got we only got 30 minutes on the show, but I'd like to get to this email that I just got, that a person, anonymous, has emailed me and asking, is there such thing as the Illuminati? He says, because they think that it's just a throwing around word and the Illuminati doesn't exist and it's just a fabrication of the media. What's your opinion of the so-called Illuminati? Do they really control the government behind the government?
The Bavarian Illuminati is an historical entity. It's verifiably true that it existed. It was created by Adam Weishaupt. The official date of the founding of the Bavarian Illuminati is 1776. In fact, it wasn't founded in 1776, but that is the date that's given in terms of an official dating of the founding of the organization. It was founded some 7 years earlier, I believe. But at any rate, he was a Jesuit priest. All roads do point to Rome. We are living under the thumb of the Roman Empire. The Catholic Church is just the Roman Empire in disguise. Just as the sun never set on the British Empire, so the sun never set on the Roman version. And subsequent empires are just an extension of Rome, if the truth be known. The Great Seal of the United States is actually the Great Seal of the Bavarian Illuminati, which you find on the back of the American $1 bill. All the literature on that hind side of the American dollar bill is written in Latin, which is the language of the Roman Empire. So it says, annui coeptis novus ordo seclorum, which means announcing the birth of a new order of ages or announcing the birth of a new world order. Indeed, it would be the new world order of the Roman Empire going worldwide. I call it the Empire of the Beast. I believe it's highly satanic. Ruby, who the book is about, had visions of the rampages of the Roman Empire throughout the world and the horrible child rape and child sacrifice rituals that the invading army were performing, indicative of the fact that they were following the Sol Invictus religion, which is ostensibly a sun god worship religion, but which is a disguise for the worship of Lucifer, the fallen angel. So it is the Empire of the Beast, always has been. Any empire could be conceived in the same light. If you look at the international armies and the insignia and the symbols that they wear, everything from the double-headed phoenix to the Maltese cross to the skull and crossbones, all the respective armies on both sides have been wearing these for centuries. And unbeknownst to them, their own troops were fodder of Lucifer and his various armies, blood sacrifices meant to be so. And so the whole thing is a ruse, all the world staged and the men and women merely played, which is my variation on the Shakespeare quote from the play, All's Well That Ends Well. In fact, all does not end well. in many regards. But let's just hope it all lands well in the end.
Now you said just a minute ago that the Catholic Church, is really the Roman Empire in disguise. Am I correct in saying that that's what you said, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was called the Holy Roman Empire, and there's nothing holy about it, but at least it was honest back in the day about what it was. It is the Holy Roman Empire. It is the, let's just say, the continuation of the empire under a new name, new labels on old wine, and it's just... to me, a complete travesty that this has been allowed to go on, and that people have been following a religion that is a cult, and that is really placing them in a situation of servitude. I'd put it more in lines with slavery, and using them as cannon fodder in its various wars. Order out of chaos is the motto, and dividing both sides, divide and conquer, divide and rule, and it's been going on for centuries.
Now you said we were talking about a little bit about the Illuminati and the Freemasons, that even today, after what I've researched, there are symbols, as we go into Tom Hanks' Da Vinci Code that he starred in the movie, there are symbols in every day, from the airports to hidden symbols, even in our downtown Toronto, that there are symbols of Freemasonry and the Illuminati. But people don't either see it or, Tim, or they either walk by it. Is this true? There are still hidden symbols that are actually seen by some of us, but we can't seem to break it down subconsciously?
Yeah, they're all over symbols. I've encountered them all over. Not far from me, there's a Scotia Bank, Bank of Nova Scotia, where you can see the fascist symbol, which is a symbol of fascism, showing bundles of munitions wrapped in a bundle with around the archway of the doorway to this bank, and mm-hmm. I was quite shocked to see this. You also have I think it's the Bank of Nova Scotia with its logo of the world being wrapped by a serpent, girdling the earth, just a serpent wrapping the earth in its coils. That's just an example, right? But I mean, we see the pyramid with the missing capstone and the all-seeing eye quite frequently in company logos around town when you're walking. Company logos in general speak volumes about who's in control. I'm understanding from my reading that the Blue Lodges of Freemasonry were infiltrated by the Bavarian Illuminati. And so basically this satanic intrusion of Masonic lodges took place back in the 18th century and has continued from that point in time. So you're talking about a Jesuit-backed series of front organizations, because the Bavarian Illuminati had been created by the Jesuits, and then the Bavarian Illuminati in their turn converted these Blue Lodges of Freemasonry to what they called Grand Orient Lodges. So Grand Orient Freemasonry is a front for the Bavarian Illuminati. And it was the Bavarian Illuminati that founded this organization called Grand Orient Freemasonry. Grand Orient Freemasonry had many members in its history that we need to look at, like Giuseppe Mazzini, who is a Grand Orient Freemason in Italy, who ended up founding the mafia, the Italian mafia, and was in regular correspondence with Albert Pike. And in the letters that they exchanged, they were planning World War One through three. And obviously we haven't seen World War III yet, and I hope we don't, but clearly plans were made and they were involved in that planning process. So there you go. Who else? We have Licio Gelli, who is the head of P2 Freemasonry, who basically led to a huge scandal erupting in which the names of some 1,000 plus members emerged when the police were looking for Michael Sedona, mafiosa who disappeared, and they came to Gelli's villa and rifled through his safe and found a briefcase containing a dossier of information and names naming prominent mayors, prominent police chiefs, prominent politicians, and so forth that were members of P2 Freemasonry. Now, Licio Gelli was a Grand Orient Freemason, which means he was connected to the Bavarian Illuminati. Now, there is an antique Illuminati organization that goes back several centuries, and it seems to have been Luciferian as well. So there is some confusion in terms of, well, which Illuminati organization are we actually speaking of, and how ancient is the order that is being referred to? For my purposes, you have a long satanic lineage, Cainites, you might call them, whatever you want to call them. There's a bloodline lineage that goes back centuries. I'm told that the Khazars play a prominent role in these bloodlines.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Tim.
Okay. I don't know what to say as far as, you know, what its original roots are. It's a little complicated, but suffice to say the Rothschilds are among them, and there's 13 bloodline families that have been identified, and they go under various assumed names and so forth. So do you have any final points since we're needing to wrap up?
I'd like to put up this disclaimer that the comments on this show do not reflect the opinion of Blog Talk Radio or the host, and it's fully the comments by the guest. So this show does not reflect the comments and views of Blog Talk Radio or its host. It just reflects the openness and comments of our guest. Well, we'd like to know your website, Tim, where we can get some more information about, especially about Shakespeare.
Right. Well, my website is www.shakespeare.com, and I also have a academic website, academia.edu. You can see a lot of my articles there under my name, my pen name, Timothy Spearman. So it's been great. Nice to be on with you again, and I hope we do another show soon.
Absolutely, Tim. Great talking to you. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We should have booked an hour, but the time slot after returning back is a little slow, but we're going to get you back for another one-hour episode of Cosmic Horizons Radio.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thanks a lot, Tim, and I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay.
Thanks. You're listening to Cosmic Horizons on the Blog Talk Radio system, and remember, as always, someone out there is always watching you watch them, and the opinions on the show does not reflect the opinions of Blog Talk Radio or the host. Thank you very much for listening.
In the early 1960s, the CIA began Operation MKUltra. They were trying to find the perfect mind control weapon through a psychoactive drug known as lysergic acid diethylamide, or LSD. The CIA knew very little.